Start some trouble and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Wakanda! Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And I don't like giving these out and losing efforts, but I think this is a win for this young man, Cam Thomas. I already said he's a walking bucket. He dropped 36 tonight, and that's to lead all scorers in the NBA. He hit 7 of 13 threes. He was 14 of 27 from the field. The problem is he plays for your Brooklyn Nets. So he can't do it all on his own with guys fouling out, guys getting ejected, and guys not playing defense. So shout out to Cam Thomas. Nets fans, enjoy him. Enjoy the fact that at any night he can go for almost 40. He's going to average 30 this year. Look how we've gotten here, right? Cam, who was drafted when we had KD, Kyrie, James Harden, he couldn't get on the floor. But he learned from those guys. He's not a rook anymore. He's not a young guy anymore. I think this is year four for Cam Thomas. Like, Cam Thomas now is going to be the leading scorer of the Nets. And the whole object of the season is to lose. They're going to go out there and try and compete for Jordy Fernandez. But they're not... They get their picks back. They're not supposed to be a team that competes in the East. They're a team that's supposed to be a potential lottery team. So it is what it is. It's going to be a long season, but I think there'll be fun parts. I think there'll be some upsets. But for me, as a Brooklyn Nets fan, I could care less until Ben Simmons is out of here. Ben Simmons ends up with 6 points. He was trying to razzle dazzle and pass the ball around, and I'm good on that. Like, bro, you make way too much money. You've claimed so much money being hurt. He's an injury waiting to happen. And for the 8 assists that he had to lead the team, I just don't care. All the behind-the-back passes and dishes, it's just like, you can't score the basketball. That is the most popular player on the Brooklyn Nets. Like, how did we end up here? How did the Nets end up with Ben Simmons? After all of the trades and signings and different things, Ben Simmons is the guy. So, yeah, I'm out on that. But I'm all in on the World Series. 888-808-1019. Good morning, good morning. We're on the other side. Today is October 24th. The World Series starts on October 25th. I can't believe, like, this is actually real, man. I can't believe this is actually real. Joe is in New Haven, Connecticut. Joe, you're on the fan.
What's going on, bro? How's your evening going so far?
It's going. I'm talking sports. We're going to take some calls. We're going to keep passing this time.
First of all, I want to say I'm a big fan. I love listening to you at night.
Thank you.
Secondly, I am a diehard Yankee fan. I've been to like 11 games this year. I was at the game when Stroman came in and started the game and gave up everything. We were supposed to clinch that night. It was heartbreaking.
I was there too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's aggravating. The fact of the matter is this. I support this team. I buy merchandise. I go to games. You know, the World Series rolls around, and just to be in the building, have standing room only seats, it's $1,058.
Yeah.
That is just, I almost feel like it's a slap in the face. Because what do I got to do for a living in order to go to a World Series game? You know, yeah. I'm not a rich man. I work for the MTA. I've been there a while. I love what I do. I take care of my family. I'm not cheap by no stretch. But, like, I had a budget. I was like, I will spend $700 a ticket. I will, right? But I cannot justify spending almost $1,100
to stand.
To stand there.
And it's going to be cold.
And watching it.
It's going to be 30-some degrees at night on,
like,
Monday.
What's it going to take? Like, I understand we got these contracts we have to pay. I understand that. I'm compassionate to the situation. But are they going to ever kind of turn around
and
what about the people that support this team?
Like, no, there's going to be some giveaways. And I'll play devil's advocate here, and I'm somebody that I'm telling you, like, when I was unemployed, I was finding a way to go to 40 games. I know all of the tricks of the trade. I've taken so many free tickets. I was going up there when there were hard copy tickets, scalpers, and then when it went digital, I just know the game. We're never going back to...
I do, too. I do, too. I'm 45 years old. I've been going since I was a little kid.
We're just never going... We're never going backwards, though, bro. What I'm telling you is, like, say this Yankees team goes to back-to-back World Series, the prices are only going to go up more. Like, my wife was saying, you know, and I had this conversation with her, the back and forth. She's like, this is wrong. She's like, the real fans are going to be priced out. The real people in New York that, love this team are going to be priced out. And I said, Nicole, it's New York. Like there are rich people. You don't realize there are the haves and the have-nots. There are billionaires around here.
I don't even think it's the rich people that are going. I think it's the corporate sponsors that have all this money that are buying these tickets that are like, oh, we're going to have our people on our executive board that we have these tickets for, and we're just going to flood the market with the money.
Oh, they're schmoozing too. There's a ton of...
And I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And they're like, screw it. You know, oh, we might not go. Hey, listen, Brett, I have tickets to the World Series, but, you know, we can't go because Buffy has, you know, a bowling event this night with her bridge club. Like, come on, bro. Like,
that's the call, Joe. Buffy, where does that come from? I think there was like a South Park character like that. I can't think about where that comes from. But check me out. Like, the ticket prices right now are four digits. They're inflated. There's a ton of hype. This is L.A. versus New York. The most billionaires live in those cities, but also there's poverty. Wherever there's money, there's poor people as well. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. It's New York. You got to get money to do things. It's not like it's a game. It's entertainment, right? It's not a public thing. It's not like I understand it. If you don't want to pay it, go to the bar, stay at home. It just is what it is. I don't feel bad for anyone. I don't feel bad for myself. I don't physically have a ticket right now. I don't think that's going to matter come Monday because, I have the money to buy my way in. Two, I might not have to buy my way in. I'm in a blessed position where, like, I'm literally speaking to you on WFAN, the Fan in New York, the New York Yankees radio network. But I have a ton of friends. I know a ton of people that are priced out where they can't even think about putting $1,000 on a ticket for standing room. And that's honestly ridiculous. Like $1,000 to stand in a stadium, but it's the World Series. So there's a lot of different factors. When I talk about the schmoozing that'll go on, the corporate people that have the tickets where the tickets are purchased by their corporations and they're doing favors to people or they're trying to butter up some people or they're saying, hey, you know, do this business with our company. We got a date at the World Series. I'll see you there. You rub our back, we rub your back. A lot of that is going to go on. It is going on. And what I'm worried about is that, like, the diehard fans, the season ticket holders, part of your season ticket, like, incentives is that you will get access to World Series tickets, but they're still expensive. But some of the season ticket holders that didn't have, you know, the full season package, that didn't get priority, and some of the bleacher creatures that, you know, aren't going to be there because it's a ridiculous price, and some of the, you know, young guys that I know that whether it's Terror Squad or people that do hang out in the standing room or only that just get the cheapest ticket to get in the building, and those are like the real core diehard fans that make that place crazy, that make that place loud. Like, I want those people to be in there so we have somewhat of a home field advantage. I've been in there when it's just lame, it's whack. Game 4 of the ALCS in 2019, where they jobbed us, Cole was pitching for the Astros, and they had the game start at 4 o'clock. It was crickets in there. And I'm like, we don't stand a chance. It's quiet in there. Like, we don't have any type of home field advantage, so... there's that, and then there's also, like, when I say it's inflated, I think those prices are going to come down. I think when we get to Monday, we'll see. Two games will be played, and I think those prices will come down from four digits, and maybe you get a $900 ticket, $800 ticket. Maybe that gets closer, you know, John, to like your 700. But like, you know, what's it going to take? When's it going to change? It's not. This is money. This is business. This is greed. There are people that are going to panic sell. Right now, their prices are up there. But if they're not selling their tickets by Monday at 4 o'clock, they have no choice but to bring that price down. Hold out. Some people don't want to hold out. Some people wanted to ensure that they are at the World Series. I'm taking my son. I'm taking my daughter. I'm taking my wife. Some people have put money to the side for years in the event that this happens. Some people just come for money. Some people just have it. You know, not for nothing. Like, I looked at the flights to LA, and I looked at the price of the Dodger Stadium tickets. My sister lives in West Hollywood. I told y'all, I'm like, if this happens, I might have to go out there. But honestly, I can afford a flight for myself. I can't afford a flight for my wife and my son. And I also can't have them sleeping at, you know, my sister's one-bedroom apartment. If I was a single guy, if this was years ago, then I'd be out there. The cost of the flight wasn't crazy. I could get into Dodger Stadium and, you know, fly out there for under $1,500. But I'm not doing that. I'm going to be hosting a live watch party at Billy's Friday and Saturday with Corona and WFAN. Cold ones and home runs. Come out and drink responsibly. We'll see you there Saturday night. 888-808-1019. Jay is up in Harlem. What's up, Jay? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Keith?
You know, talking to talk around these ticket prices and the World Series that we've been waiting 15 years for.
Yes, sir. So, you know me, I've already been playing the game on MLB. MLB The Show, I haven't played the World Series.
You simulated it. You had a simulation.
Yes, sir. So I'm thinking, should Gerrit Cole go like CC mode and play pitch 1, 4, and 7? Or should they like stretch him out? I think we could take advantage of the Dodgers' short rotation if they throw the bullpen game 4. You could throw Cole game 4 on short rest. You know, and that's going to be a pivotal game, whether we up 2-1 or down 2-1. That's going to be an important game.
So I was having this conversation. Cole is on a little extra rest here. Right. And out of the 3 starts we've seen Cole make, he gave us one real good one that looked like locked in October Cole against the Royals to eliminate them. But the other ones, he left a lot to be desired. He was not that dominant that first game of the Royals series and the game he pitched against the Guardians. So when you say, should we pitch Cole 3 times? What version of Gerrit Cole are we getting? I know he's our ace. I know he's going to get the ball first, and it could set itself up like that. It depends on what the series is, and it depends on what version of Cole we're getting. I am fingers crossed that he goes back and feels that California sun and smells that air, and he's home, and he realizes the dream has come true. He's back in the World Series this time for the New York Yankees, and he shoves. Because we have that advantage. I don't think Jack Flaherty is going to dominate against his Yankees lineup the way that Cole could potentially dominate the Dodgers lineup. Let's get through game 1 first, and then let the chips fall where they may.
Got it. Makes sense. So you might have one more question?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Because you said you might have tickets to go. I was listening to the option. Michael Kay said he don't got a ticket to the game. I just do not believe him. Like that, the voice of the Yankees would do
we
all.
We don't. We like, but like, no. Nah.
We don't get tickets to the game.
I'll text Michael and ask him. He probably does not have a ticket loaded up. He's sleeping right now. I'll text him tomorrow. Like, yo, did you say on air you don't have a ticket to the game? Because I don't have a ticket loaded up in my app right now either. But I expect that to change come Monday, and that will change for him come Monday as well.
Okay. Cool. The Yankees gotta do better.
It's not even. Thanks for the call, Jay. It's not even that. It's like, I guess us media members or radio hosts or people that are in the Yankee universe that represent the Yankees, I'm just holding out. Like, why would I punch a ticket right now? Why would I go on StubHub, SeatGeek, Vivid Seats, TickPick? Shout out to Kyle who runs TickPick. Why would I go on right now and put cash out for a ticket when somebody may already be thinking about me? Honestly, 2 people did message me that are thinking about me, friends of mine in the Yankee universe that are like, I got you, because they just saw me put out a video from the ALCS. And when I wrote the caption, I wrote like, hey, if I don't get into the World Series, because it's not a guarantee, if I don't get into the World Series, I'll always have this ALCS. The ALCS, I had so much fun at the ALCS 2 games. At the watch party, I'm just like, this is a dream for me as a Yankee fan, being on the fan, being where I am now in life, like, it's just crazy, yo. It's crazy. But I don't have a ticket right now loaded up. And that's just, like, that's just me keeping it a buck. And if Michael K says he doesn't have a ticket right now, he doesn't have a ticket right now. He's not calling the game. But somebody will take care of Michael K, whether it's in his company. He's with two companies, with the Yes Network and ESPN. Somebody's going to have a ticket reserved for him. I don't know if I'm going to have a ticket reserved in WFAN, and that's fine. I'm not asking anyone for any favors or handouts. Like I said, I'll be there Monday, and I'll be looking at the ticket prices, and I'll just pay my way in because I understand it's the World Series. I want to go. I already put the money to the side. Like, I already knew this is what it was going to be. I'm not expecting any handout. And I've played the game at Yankee Stadium for years, yo. for years. So it is what it is. 888-808-1019. But I know everybody's like, you know, there are a ton of people, man. We're doing these watch parties at Billy's, and people are asking, hey, are you guys going to be open every day, you know, during the home games? Yeah, that's usually when Billy's is open. Like, like the thing about Billy's, and shout out to Joey and George and the whole family that runs Billy's. Like, I love y'all, man. I'm wearing a Billy's shirt right now. I'm going to wear my Billy's jacket over there. Like, they treat me like family over there. Spiro at the door. Everybody, man. The bartenders. Everybody at Billy's is so solid. BV, Ball, Vinny sells his stuff outside of Billy's. You know, we did the first watch party during the DS at American Whiskey. You know, cool spot. But, like, not for nothing. Like, I showed up with, like, 40 bleacher creatures. We needed more space. And, like, you know, with the power of WFAN, some of you listening might have shown up there. And there was, you know, there's a good amount of people. Dylan Batanzas is my guy. He showed up. We needed a bigger space. So when the ALCS came, I'm like, all right, where should we do this at? And it just made sense to do Billy's. It just made sense to do the biggest bar at the stadium. And when I called Joey, I literally, Joey's so busy, but I get Joey on the phone and I'm like, bro, can you open up the big side? He's like, I was just going to open up the, you know, restaurant side of Billy's, which is on 161st when you're coming from, you know, like Grand Concourse, when you're walking down, you know, going west. And I'm like, nah, 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 nah. I'm like, bro, like, I'm going to bring the creatures, Terror Squad, people from my social media. Like, I'm promoting, like, bro, like, open the big side with the big TV, like, the big screen. He's like, okay, no problem. You got to open the big bar. That first night we did, that Friday of game four, the videos that I posted, the video, the stuff that came out of there, it's just, like, thousands of people saw those videos and are like, yo, is this open the next day? The next day, I didn't go. I had to take care of my son. You know, trading off with my wife. Hey, if I go to Billy's Friday, you know, you can go out with your friend Saturday. I'll put Jackson to bed. I'll bathe him up and, you know, read him his bedtime stories, and then I'll watch the game. But then the videos that Joey was sending me from there, I'm like, it doubled. Like, more people came. I'm like, yo, look what we started. Look what this is now. Like, now this is the headquarters for away games. And then the way that the pregame is set up for every game, now people are just going to come to Billy's to pregame. And then when the games happen, people are just going to stay in there and watch on the big screen. It's going to be nuts. So if you can't afford a ticket to the game, man, buy a bottle, buy a table, or just come in there for free. It's no cover. We'll be there Friday and Saturday. WFAN, Corona are sponsoring, like, meet Keith McPherson there on Saturday for game two. And then when game three, four, and five happen in the stadium, the place is open as well. So, like, there are alternatives. I know we all want to be in the stadium. There's only a certain amount of seats. And a lot of us are getting priced out. It is what it is, though. It comes with the territory. You had to anticipate that, like, this was going to happen. Liv is out in Los Angeles. Liv, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. Going to the game on Friday? I'm so excited. You can guess the price I paid.
Oh, four digits. I just over a rack, yeah. Over a G, over, you know, over a grand. Yes. But
$1,400. But
listen, so just question for you, right? You didn't get, like, the high up seats in Dodger Stadium. Those seats up at Dodger Stadium, you can see the mountains. Those seats are high as hell.
Yeah, I went to actually the Padres game two against the Dodgers, and then game five when the Dodgers clinched, and I was sitting high up. But then those were only $190. I paid $1,400. I'm actually in right field, third row. I actually got a really good deal for $1,400. So
yeah, that's amazing.
Hoping Soto hears me.
He will. And you know what it's like in that section. Like, that's like Dodger Stadium's bleachers. It gets rowdy over there.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried, but
You're a Yankee fan?
Yes, sir. Of course.
Don't worry.
I was from San Diego a couple months ago. I used to live in San Diego. I go to USC now, so.
Yeah, I think I remember talking. Don't worry. Don't worry. Like, when I've gone out there, there are hella Yankee fans out there. I remember in 2019, we were drowning out the Let's Go Dodgers chants with Let's Go Yankees chants. You will not be alone. Do not be afraid.
Yeah, I was there. I was there on Players Weekend when they wore the black. I remember you talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, I was at all those games, and I was honestly surprised how many Yankees fans were out there. There's a lot that just live out there.
Yeah, it's like Garrett Cole. Like, he lived out in Huntington Beach, and that's like right down the corner, or right around the corner, and they're all Yankees fans out here.
It's the Yankees universe, man. Have fun at the game. Thanks for the call, bro. 888-808-1019. Pat in Manhattan's next up on the Fan. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Keith. Nice to talk to you. Keith, I'm responding to the guy who called in about what's going on is not price gouging by Major League Baseball or the Yankees.
No.
It's these, you know, it's supply and demand. You know, if you get, here's the bottom line. And Keith, again, I don't want to, you know, bore everyone with my history, but yeah, I grew up in the Bronx. I was a vendor at Yankee Stadium when I was 18 years old. I used to work Giant and Yankee teams, you know, back when the Giants played at Yankee Stadium. So I'm an old guy, all right? And you know, you go through life and you start out, and, you know, I'm now able to afford getting season tickets for the Yankees. And if you get season tickets, you have access to postseason games.
Yes.
Right. And the thing is, during the season, you shell out a hell of a lot of money during the season. There are many times when if I can't use my seats, I post them and I lose money because I can't get face value.
That's the
so
game.
So now what happens? Yeah. So the thing is, this is people like me who shell out a hell of a lot of money.
Yes.
This has nothing to do with players' salaries. My tickets, I'm at main infield, okay? I have really good seats, 224, you know, with the Kiki Man sign is over there?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically over the visitor's dugout, second level. They're great seats. What I'm being charged is $323.50. That's the cost of the ticket.
But you can and list them. Go ahead.
but I go online. So now I have four there. So if I decide to use two and I decide to sell two and I go onto StubHub and I see these tickets are going for $3,000,
right,
am I going to post the tickets for $325 for this guy?
No, you match what the section is priced at. It is what it is.
So, do the people take economics anymore? I mean, give me a break.
People are taking it too personal. People are getting like in their feelings about it. It's just how the game is played. It's the market.
But Keith, I mean, it's just like doing like class warfare here. I mean, I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. Before the internet, I would go with a list of games I wanted to go to the stadium. Yeah, and when they first put I would wait around on a line, and I have my friends, I consulted with my friends, I get 30, and we always sat in the upper deck. As I remember 76, the Chambliss game, I was literally in the last row of the upper deck, right behind home plate, though. It was a great seat. And yeah, you know, so it isn't like, you know, the people at this, it's not like these corporate, I mean, what's with this corporate greed?
No, but there are corporate seats. There are companies that they're, look at all
course.
The advertisers in Yankee Stadium. They have an allotment.
But what I'm saying is I grew up a regular guy, lower middle class. So if you become successful in life and this is, you're passionate about baseball and you could afford season tickets, this guy's going to begrudge if I post my tickets. For what the going rate is?
No, and trust me, I get it. Like I said, I was talking to my wife, and like my wife and I, we've been to nice restaurants in New York, and I said that to her. I'm like, this is New York. You got to get money. I'm like, some of the places we've gone to eat, everybody just can't walk in there and get a table and order. Like, if there's a reason. Like, it's like...
key thing. I mean, it helps if you know how to cook. I mean, I grew up in an Italian family, and pasta is cheap. I mean, it's cheaper to make a bowl of pasta than to go to McDonald's for four. Trust me.
Right, or to go to Carbone or Tucci or one of these places out here.
But Keith, I'm telling you, I swear, it's unbelievable. I can tell you stories. And by the way, you speaking of Roy White, I'm gonna send a letter to Roy because I have stories involving him. I'll never forget this. Twilight night doubleheader. Back in the day, we're talking about like the Frank Robinson, Brooks Robinson Orioles. So, you know, it's like the summer just started. We just got out of school. The Yankees like 10 games behind them. There's a Twilight night doubleheader. And in June, whatever. And I'm saying, oh, if we sweep this 4-game series, we'll be only 6 games out. First game of the Twilight doubleheader, Roy White comes up with the bases loaded, 2 outs. And here's Roy White. He's choking up like 3 inches. He was our cleanup hitter. He hits a fly ball, you know, the lower fence that used to be in the old Yankee Stadium where he used to say 344. Frank Robinson leans over the right field fence. He falls into the stands, right? There were people there. It was a pretty good crowd. He comes out like about, I'd say, 10 seconds later, and he holds up the ball, and they called Roy. That was the last out of the game. So instead of the Yankees winning, they were down by 3 runs. That would have been a grand slam. They would have won that game. Ralph Houk went crazy. Frank Robinson, and he was chuckling all the way back to the dugout because he pulled a fast one on the umpire.
He didn't really catch it, and you can't review that.
And I'm sure Roy remembers that game because that, could you imagine hitting like a game and it turns out to be your last.
I'm doing the circle above my head right now. Like that's a homer. And I'm in the left field.
I'm telling you, I've never been more pissed off about a game in my life than that at that point. But then 1995 came around when they lost the 3 games in Seattle and that was devastating, you know, Mattingly's last year. But anyway, Keith, it's a pleasure talking to you. And you know, Keith, the other thing that's driving me crazy, this idea that the Yankees have had a cakewalk. The Dodgers nonsense. Just beat them. You know who had a cakewalk? The Dodgers.
How many runs last night. They played 2 wild card teams. They played a team in their division that they historically own, and a Mets team.
If the Yankees played a if the Yankees played a postseason series and they were outscored, 46-20, they would have said, "Oh, they choke, they can't handle the pressure and all that," and they want to throw a parade for them. It's like unbelievable. And Joel Sherman, here's this. I want to share this with you. Remember when Cashman yelled at the reporters at the winter meetings when he was,
at the GM meetings in Arizona. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And then the guy who was asking questions was Joel Sherman. And Cashman snapped at all of them, including Sherman. Ever since then, Sherman has held a vendetta against Cashman, mm-hmm. and he goes out of his way to rip him. And it's like, even you see him on the MLB Network, and this was during the League Championship Series, and he's going, "Oh, well, the Mets were not supposed to be here, and New York is more excited about the Mets than the Yankees, but so the Yankees."
He also was writing about Soto going to the Mets. It's like, why?
I actually sent out a tweet to him. I said, why are we focusing in on what the Mets are going to do in the offseason when you have a chance to win a championship? Do you believe this nonsense that's going on?
Can you imagine
if this was reversed? The Mets were in the World Series and they had a free agent.
No, I can't imagine.
It wouldn't happen. Wouldn't happen.
I can't imagine because it would not happen.
Keith, I'm going to tell you, it's such a freaking double standard. And oh my God, the crap that we've heard all year. What is this? Oh, Cashman doesn't deserve the right to be the GM. No, he just makes the postseason every year. Yeah. What is this?
Just keeps adding
about?
To his resume of ALCS appearances and postseason appearances.
And by the way, all these guys like Luke Weaver and that he pulls out of a hat, amazing. He didn't get any credit for that.
Jake Cousins.
No credit whatsoever. They're talking about Carl Pavano. I heard that on the show.
Yeah.
They're talking about Carl Pavano. Yeah. The names that won't go away.
Thanks for the call, Pat. Appreciate it, man.
You take care. Bye-bye.
888-808-1019. Let's hit this break right now. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about the dynamics of the ticket pricing, and it is what it is. It's New York City. You guys can't get into Broadway shows. You can't get into nice restaurants, and you can't get into the World Series for the price that you get in to one of 81 regular season games. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Need to get out of a meeting? Call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS Live on Paramount Plus.
Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball, is throwing a Yankees watch party with WFAN and Billy's across from Yankee Stadium for Game 2 of the World Series this Saturday night. Come watch the game alongside myself as we lead the charge for Yankee fans and bring the energy of the stadium to Billy's. Enjoy home runs and cold ones with Corona and WFAN. That's this Saturday for Game 2 of the World Series at Billy's across from the stadium. Please drink responsibly. Money, power, respect. That's a good beat. Money, power, respect. What you need in life, you'll see the light. Money, power, respect can get you into the World Series. Straight up. Straight up. 888-808-1019. Before the break, we were talking about the dynamics of the ticket pricing and how, like, you know, I think I took a call from John who was saying, like, when will this? Like, it's, no, never. It's never going backwards. It's just how it's set up. Once upon a time, there was no resale market. Once upon a time, you could wait out in line at Yankee Stadium and buy tickets until they ran out of them. Once upon a time, you could listen to WFAN and they tell you, well, there's still some tickets left if you had to, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a long time ago. We're never going back to that. There are season ticket holders that put in money all year for this time. There are season ticket holders that put in money for this time for the last 15 years of this drought, waiting for when this would happen. There are corporate sponsors. I've tangled with a bunch of corporate spots. I've dealt with Oris watches. I wear Oris watches. They advertise in the stadium. I've dealt with JBL. They advertise in the stadium. You guys know Bank of America, Dunkin' Donuts, Delta, Heineken. Like, there's so many. I was in the Delta suite as a guest of Major League Baseball. Right, I have friends in the commissioner's office that put me in there. Like, they're just there. These things go on. This is just how it's done. This is just the business of the stadium and baseball. Right, there's only a certain amount of seats. Yankee Stadium, I think a sellout is like over 47,000, something like that. Capacity, Yankee Stadium capacity on Google, 46,537. So when they end up getting over that number, it's a sellout. But they've added the terraces. They've added, you know, different areas for standing room where World Series, like, when they actually do that attendance, it's going to be over 48,000 people. 888-808-1019. I was just looking at Twitter, and shout out to Kevin Gold. He says, Keith, don't you wish it was the old stadium for the World Series? 10,000 more capacity might bring down the price of tickets by $200 to $300. Dodger Stadium holds about the same capacity and prices are still crazy, but I just miss the old Yankee Stadium. Everybody misses the old Yankee Stadium. That's going to go on forever. They're going to, in 100 years, knock down this stadium, make a new one, and people are still going to be saying, people that never went are going to be saying, I miss the old Yankee Stadium. 888-808-1019. Avery out in St. Louis, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith, it's finally happening.
I told you it would. I told you to stop worrying.
Well, now you know what? I'm trying to do my best not to worry. I'm trying to live in the moment.
Enjoy it. This is yours, young man. I told you this is your World Series. We're going to get there. This is yours.
I'm coming back for Game 5, so I'm really, really excited.
Oh, you're going to the game?
Yeah.
Must be nice to have some good parents.
Yeah.
Shout out to your 100%. Mom. She's great. I told her online. I hope to meet her one day.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I'm just trying not to right now, I'm still trying to go as long as I can without overthinking all of this.
No, you're gonna. You know? I can't think about anything else. From Saturday night, I cannot think about anything else.
You know, obviously, even tonight. We're such big Yankee fans and baseball fans that we run through every single potential scenario in our head. So, yeah, yep. I've been through all of it already, Keith. I know every scenario.
Every matchup, every player.
A little bit.
The joy that it could be, the doom that it could be. All of it, it runs through your mind at random times. I tried to come in tonight. I'm like, I'm not going to just do Yankees World Series talk. I'm going to talk about John Mara, Joe Shane, Brian Dable. I'm going to talk about the Jets and Devontae Adams and their ticket prices and Woody. And everybody wants to talk about the Yankees World Series ticket prices, Garrett Cole. So, hey, I'm not going to steer the car in a different direction.
What do people expect, though?
It's World Series week. We don't ever get this. It's been 15 years.
We haven't been in this situation in 15 years.
We don't get this.
It's the two biggest media markets in America, Keith.
Right now, we'd be overanalyzing the Knicks, game one loss. We'd be hammering home the same Jets and Giants points. Like, we have the New York Yankees about to play in the World Series against the Dodgers, and everybody in the world is talking about it. Everybody in the world will be watching.
I've been wearing my Juan Soto jersey all day this week.
Yeah, ref.
This is the time.
I love it. Everywhere,
like my time.
Everywhere I'm going, I'm seeing people just pinstripes. Like, I saw a guy in ShopRite the other day. I don't think he recognized me. Maybe he did. I don't know if he knew me from internet or radio. But he just had on his Yankee hat and his Yankee jersey. And I had on my Yankee hat and my Yankee World Series jacket. And he just gave me a point and a look like, let's go. Like, strangers in the area that are Yankee fans, you see somebody wearing pinstripes, you know what time it is. I saw this kid in my building today. He says, Mr. McPherson. I said, yeah, you know what time it is. He said, yeah, hell yeah. Like, it's our time.
Yeah, our time. All right, well, we better go out there and get it. You'll hear from me soon.
Yes, sir. I will be here. Thanks for the call, Avery. 888-808-1019. That's something I'm looking forward to as well. You know, Monday, going to the game. And doing what I do during the regular season, go to the game and then get in the car and race down here to host the show. Win or lose, whatever, they're special shows, they're World Series shows. We're going to have a ton of calls. We're going to have a ton of things to talk about just this weekend. Like, we'll get a game Friday and Saturday. So before I get back on the air Monday, there'll be three World Series games to talk about. It could be 2-1 Yanks. It could be, 2-1 Dodgers. Like, I can't wait, man. It's so much fun. It's the most wonderful time. In Bergen County, let's go to Jeremy on the fan. What's up, man? You got it.
What's going on, Keith?
Looking up the capacities. Dodger Stadium is 56,000.
I'm sorry. I want to give you props because you always stay consistent. Your Yankee fandom, you see us when we are bad, but you are a Yankee fan through and through, brother. And I appreciate that because people get low on us. People get high on us. They want to talk crap about us that we're front runners. And, brother, you've been a fan. I don't know your age exactly, but you've been a fan kind of as long as you grew up with the 90s, like that era. And we're living the dream right now, man.
Yeah,
and
the first season I remember watching was 98. But even as a kid, you don't know as much. I've been locked in probably the last, 15 years solid.
Yeah.
Since the drought.
But exactly. You've experienced, would they call us? I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm a Knicks fan, and I'm a Yankee fan. So you could say I'm a front runner, but are we really front runners? Because we've sucked for so long.
I get it all the time because unfortunately, I didn't grow up with my dad and my mom didn't put me on the sports. So I jumped on the bandwagon of the Yankees and the Cowboys in the late 90s, but I stayed down. I stayed loyal.
If you stay down, you're not a front runner.
Because I put in pain. I put in a lot of pain and suffering.
Exactly, man. I called you the other night, and I kind of they were like, oh, who's talking? I knew it was you. I'm a bartender, so I always hear you on the way home. And they're like, oh, who's talking? Who is that? I'm like, I couldn't, the name couldn't come out my mouth, and they hung up on me. But I know exactly who you are, and I just want to give you homage because, brother, you're Yankee. You see us for what we are. You acknowledge that sometimes we're sucking. Our bullpen sucks. Soto, Judge. doesn't always do what we have, but
I call spade a spade, bro. I want to win just like all of you, but like in the regular season, that's what we're supposed to do. You know, even when I was doing podcasts, even when I was doing Yankees Twitter, I was doing, you know, post game reactions on my Instagram. Like, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I'm not gonna pretend like everything is good when it's not.
I want to make one point, if you don't mind. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you got it. Go for it.
I just the world in general. I want to let them know, Soto is not leaving the Yankees. I promise you, brother. The money talks, but we're going to give him enough to talk. I'm of Dominican descent. Washington Heights is mini DR. And the Bronx is so close. He has never...
You're good. I mean, I can talk to Juan Soto stuff, but I don't really, like, talk that deep into it and what I even know of it on air, because I'm just like, wait, we'll wait and see. We'll wait it out. We'll find out at one point. But, like, if you're boots on the ground in the Bronx, and, like, you mentioned Washington Heights, and, like, I remember very early in the season talking about where he was getting his hair cut, where Gleyber Torres was taking him to, like, those things do matter. Right, even Robinson Cano being in his ear and him looking up to Robinson Cano. You think? Don't you know Robbie Cano didn't tell him a thing or two about being a Yankee, being in New York, going to Seattle, coming back, being a Met? Like Juan Soto's dad. You guys saw Juan Soto's dad on the field after the game in full Yankee gear. You saw Juan Soto's dad dancing with the other dads after the game. Maybe you didn't. Them doing the line dance, like. Here's the thing. I don't know if Jeremy's still with us or not. He dropped a curse word. Thanks for the call, Jeremy, and the compliments. So I had to hit the dump button, and sometimes they freeze, whatever. With Juan Soto, there's a video from 2019 where someone was telling him, you're going to be a Yankee. I think it was maybe it was Gio Gonzalez who was with the Nationals, who also ended up in the Yankee system a couple years ago, but just didn't make it up to major league level. But I think he told him, like, you're going to be a Yankee. Like, the Yankees are going to either trade for you or sign you in free agency. Like, you are going to be a Yankee. And, I mean, I got to meet Juan Soto. I got to meet Juan Soto in the little corridor that goes from, like, I got to walk through the dugout. I got to walk through the dugout into the area where... their batting cages are right before you get to the clubhouse. I got to dap Juan Soto up, see Juan Soto, talk to Juan for a minute. Like, he is where he wants to be. There is this Juan Soto chain where he's doing, it's like a silhouette, like a Jordan Jumpman logo, but it's like his logo. It's him doing the Soto shuffle as he's like, you know, he's on the chain, squatted in his position with a 22 and the NY logo on it. I'll leave it at this with the Yankees. They went out to get Juan Soto to put them over the hump, right? To get them over the hump, to say, you know what, Judge and Stanton couldn't do it. Let's go get Juan Soto. And that's going to power us to the World Series. And it happened. So win or lose, let's say they lose, because I know there are people listening that are interested in Juan Soto and think, you know, if they lose the World Series, he's going to find greener pastures elsewhere. Or if they lose the World Series, he's just going to want out of there and go to the highest bidder. Nah, I don't think it's that simple. I had this conversation on Foul Territory 2 days ago. Yeah. I said, if he's just the money guy, if him and Scott Boras are just looking for the money, then he goes to the highest bidder. We know who the highest bidder potentially can be. But I don't think it's that simple. I think that the Yankees have a huge leg up. I think they're so far out in front with him getting to be a Yankee this year and see what that is like compared to being a Washington National or a San Diego Padre. I think they have a huge leg up with him being next to Gleyber Torres. You saw the video of him and Gleyber Torres dancing and singing, and in Spanish, Juan Soto says, we're out to Miami after we win this thing, after we win the World Series, they're going to party in Miami. The Yankees have a huge leg up because he had his best season batting in front of Aaron Judge. The Yankees have a huge leg up because now he's in Yankee lore. He hit that home run that ends up sending the Yankees to the World Series for the first time in 15 years. Stay tuned, folks. The Yankees win the World Series. He's not going to want to put another hat on. The Yankees win the World Series. He's going to want to come back and do it again with the same guys. He's going to be probably lobbying for Gleyber Torres to come back. So, I mean, if you want to play the game of, oh, yeah, richest owner, blah, 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 like, yeah, play that game. But I just understand, like, the Yankee brand, the leverage that the Yankees already have, that's a lot to walk away from if the Yankees come to the table with a fair contract. We're in a time where guys are walking away from the most money because they don't want to play for the San Francisco Giants. Or they don't want to play for, you know what I'm saying? Like, that has happened in recent time. The Yankees are supposed to be the mecca of the sport. It's supposed to be the place that the guys want to come and play that are like Gerrit Cole, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton. I think Soto likes his group. I think he likes being here. I think he likes being a Yankee. And I think there are things, like Jeremy was saying, about the Bronx and Washington Heights and New York that he has now seen and discovered that, of course, if he went to the other side of New York, he could still have access to. But it's different, right? El Alfa. Go listen to that El Alfa song. It says, Yankee, 22. It's about Juan Soto being in New York as a New York Yankee. Michael is in Harrison. Before we go to break, I got you in there. Michael, go for it.
Hi, Keith. Good to talk to you. I do have a question. I'm looking at the Dodgers right now, and I see a very exploitable three right-handed pitcher setup. I think that, like, this is something that the Yankees can, like, blow up. It's like the hold of the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
My big question is, what are the Yankees looking at in terms of, or what as a Dodgers fan would the Dodgers be looking at in terms of something exploitable from the Yankees that they're, like, salivating at? Like, is it the infield defense or the bottom of the lineup?
Yankees terrible base running. I talked to a couple guys yesterday. I talked to Steven Nelson, who calls the games on the radio broadcast for the Dodgers. I also talked to Fabian Ardaya, who is their beat writer out there. I think they're just relying on the fact that they have a lineup that can score runs, right? But they're not facing the Mets. They're not facing the Padres. Like, I think they just expect Ohtani and Betts. And then even the guys like Tommy Edman that emerge, Kike Hernandez that emerge. I think they're expecting to just, you know, out-hit the Yankees, score more runs than the Yankees, you know, overpower the Yankees. But I think the Yankees have the edge in pitching, like you said. I cannot wait to see Yamamoto. I think if there's a time for Yamamoto to fold, here it comes. And Jack Flaherty, too, who the Yankees passed on at the trade deadline, I don't know if he's going to be like that against Gleyber, Soto, Judge, Stanton. And, you know, these guys in the Yankees lineup in the lower part, they got to pick it up as well. They got to get it going. Verdugo, Wells, Rizzo, Volpe, they have to be threats. It can't just be the top of the order. But, yeah, when you're talking about what are the Dodgers going to try to exploit, this Yankees bullpen has been amazing. They're going to probably try and jump all over guys like Cole, Rodon, Heel, and Schmidt early in the game. But if they don't, it's going to set up for such a great series. It's going to set up for such a great matchup because there's so much firepower in the top of these orders. It's going to be survival of the fittest. Like, whoever else can get these outs, whoever can you know, navigate through these lineups is going to win. It's going to be so tense, I feel like, in the beginning. But then once the game breaks open, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for taking my call. Excited to watch the series and excited to tune in with you.
Thanks for the call, Michael. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I look at Walker Buehler, too. Walker Buehler got rocked by the Padres. But then he came to New York and he talked about pitching in the cold and how in Vanderbilt he had X amount of starts in the cold and how he likes pitching in the cold. Well, it's going to be cold, right? We haven't talked too much about the weather. I was looking at that. Like Monday night, the low is going to be 35 degrees, 37 degrees. So it'll probably be around like 40-some when the game starts. Like that's a lot different than L.A. You know, that's a lot different than Los Angeles in October. Like, the low out there is 20 degrees warmer. It's like 57, not 37. That can play an effect. But I obviously know the Dodgers were just here facing the Mets. They were just here in New York. They might be staying in the same hotels, whatever. I don't know. Nobody can call this stuff, man. I just know I'm riding for my team. I know I feel confident that they can get it done. I don't think that they have to be looking up to the Dodgers. I don't think that they have to be inferior to the Dodgers. I think they're ready to match up against the Dodgers. The regular season is not the postseason, but they didn't see Juan Soto. Stan struggled mightily in that series. They're not going to face Cody Poteet. And the Yankees should have won that game with Cody Poteet on the mound. They lost 2-1 in extras. So here we go. Another hour of my show, 888-808-1019. It's still out there if you want to talk about the mess that is the New York Jets. I might bring Fleegs in on that conversation about the ticket prices and Hassan Reddick and Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers. Like, how did we end up right here where we are going into week 8, losing 4 in a row? And like Hassan, right? I don't know. We'll get there as well with Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, and John Mara. Basically, he just guaranteed you 2 more years of this regime. They're going to draft their own quarterback and try and develop him in a year or two. So you've got that coming up. And then, you know, the conversation around the Yankees, the Dodgers, the World Series, ticket pricing, and everything else. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Marco Belletti coming up with the update. We got to take this break. I'll be right back.